Yeah, you can clap for that. That's good. They did a great job. Excellent song. And I want you to understand, today is the day 49 years ago Bible Baptist Church started. On October 26, 1976, Bible Baptist Church came into existence. And we are so grateful that through those 49 years, our foundation has been Jesus Christ. And he has always been faithful to us. Even when we have not been faithful to him, he has been faithful to us. And so I am so grateful just to praise the Lord this morning and just thank him for all that he's done. We have just such amazing, amazing things that he has done for us. And we could really spend all day long talking about that. We could talk about the Lord. In fact, John in his gospel said the books could not contain what Christ had done. And that now continues over 2,000 years later, and we have that with us here today, and so we're so grateful. We have had a wonderful weekend, Thursday night with Pastor Jerry Burns, Friday night with Pastor Burns, and then yesterday we had a wonderful day. We did some outreach, passed out some flyers. Teens had an activity, bowling. By the way, who was the highest scoring teen? Do we have that?
Emily.
Emily, well done. Congratulations. Teens went bowling yesterday, and then we also had our harvest party and just had an excellent time. And so today we are going to have Pastor Burns preach for us again. He is the pastor of Kitchener Baptist Church. He's been there for 14 years. He is very closely connected to our church in many, many ways. He's a lot of family here, and we are grateful to have him here today and his family. And tonight as well, he's going to be there, and he's going to speak for us tonight as well at the banquet. So we're just so grateful. Pastor Burns, would you come and preach for us today? He's done a wonderful job. I've been challenged by both of his messages, and I'm excited for what he has for us this morning and then as well this evening. So thank you so much for being here, sir. I appreciate it.
God bless you. Amen. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you so much, Pastor, for the kind invitation. And your kindness to me and my family, it is more than I deserve. And we're grateful to be a part of this weekend, 49 years, what a wonderful blessing. There's a passage of scripture when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he talks about all of the incredible things that God is doing, and he says in that passage, he says, "And God be thanked." And that's what it's all about. We thank God for everything that is happening here at Bible Baptist Church. And it's a blessing to see familiar faces. It's a blessing to see new faces as well. And so I am so grateful of God's work here. Let's take our Bibles to a familiar passage of Scripture this morning. Psalm 23 is where we're going to be. Psalm 23. And we're going to read together the entire psalm. I'm not going to preach on the entire psalm, but we will read this psalm in its entirety as we build context here for our message. Psalm 23, and let's read it together in verse number 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I remember as a child being taught this psalm. Early in my childhood, my dad would come into my sister and my room, and he would go through Psalm 23 with us, and he would teach it to us, and he would help us to memorize this wonderful psalm. And throughout my childhood in Sunday school, I would hear it over and over again, Psalm 23. And I remember as a child thinking, in the simplicity of a child's mind, you know, I don't understand. If this shepherd is so good, if he's so wonderful, why wouldn't anyone want him? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I didn't understand, and it wasn't until as I grew in the Bible that I realized, no, he is all that we need. We don't want because he gives to us all that we need in our life. Verse 2 says, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, with the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach on the first five words of this wonderful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful blessings that you've given to us. We're grateful, Lord, that we can gather together on your day to worship you, to celebrate that you are a living Savior and that you have won the victory over death and the grave and the devil. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning as we focus our attention on you. I pray if there's anyone here this morning that cannot say that the Lord is their shepherd, I pray that they would make that decision. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as believers to allow you to shepherd our life each and every day. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm isn't just about a king who's writing about a king. Psalm 23 is also about a shepherd who's writing about a shepherd. David was taken from the fields watching over his father's sheep to shepherd a nation. The Bible says in Psalm 78 and verse 70, it says, "He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following ewes great and young, and brought him to feed Jacob his people." Now, we don't know when David wrote Psalm 23. Bible scholars have their opinions and their views, and theologians will tell you what they think. Some suggest that Psalm 23 was written when David was an old man, and he was looking back at his life, and he was looking back on God's faithfulness, and he was thinking about all that God had established in his life and the lessons that he had learned, the disciplines that he had learned. And as he thought about his life and God's work in his life, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and he's shepherding me." Others suggest that David wrote this psalm as a youth, as a young man, as a shepherd boy on the Judean hills with his father's flock surrounding him and his harp in his hand, and he was thinking about as he looked at creation, and he thought about God, his creator. He thought about the Lord as a shepherd. Someone has suggested that this wonderful psalm is really broken up into three thoughts. It's God and trusting God in the frailty of life, that God would take care of not only our frailty, but also our foes and also our future. I heard the story of a Christian man whose mother had passed away, and he walked into her bedroom, and there, as he walked into that room, he found her open Bible. And in that open Bible, it was open to Psalm 23. And though the pages of that Bible were tattered and discolored from use, he noticed an outline scribbled in the margins of Psalm 23. And along the side of Psalm 23, his mother wrote these words, "The secret to a happy life and a happy death and a happy eternity. The Lord is my shepherd," David wrote. "The Lord is my shepherd." Think about this, if we could, for just a moment. The Lord's shepherding of our life. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, the Bible says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd." God is shepherding our life each and every day. And Psalm chapter 23, I know many times, and I'm guilty of this as well, we read this when someone is near to the end of their life, but really Psalm 23 is about God shepherding his children through every stage of their life, right to the very end when we are with him for all eternity. Can we think about this psalm and these five first words? And I want us to break it down here this morning and think about, first of all, a powerful shepherd. Can we think about that this morning, a powerful shepherd? Now, David was a good shepherd. I think we would agree that that shepherd boy cared about his father's sheep, and he protected his father's sheep. And David was a shepherd, that he took his responsibilities that his father had given to him seriously. But David realized in the moment of writing this psalm that he had a shepherd that was watching over him. He had a shepherd that was protecting over him. You know, they say the life of a good shepherd in Bible days was not an easy one. Beside the difficult task of keeping watch over many sheep, the shepherd was also responsible for finding proper water, adequate nourishment for the sheep, and who by nature were afraid of almost everything that was around them. There were diseases, exposure to elements, robbers to contend with, wild animals that would seek to devour the sheep if given a chance. And there were, of course, the issue of dealing with hirelings who, when danger presented itself, they would flee, they would run. They didn't care about the sheep. They weren't interested in the sheep. And so to them, it was only a job. It was tough to be a good shepherd. And yet David was a good shepherd. He was a shepherd boy who had invested in being that good shepherd. But David understood that there was a greater shepherd watching over his life, and it was the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. And friend, listen to me. The Lord, our shepherd, He's a good shepherd. Can I read some scripture? John 10:11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10:14. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the Lord, our shepherd, is not just a good shepherd, but can I say that He's also a great shepherd? The Bible says, Hebrews 13, verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, He says, that great shepherd of the sheep. The Lord is a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. But Peter told us one day, the primary shepherd, the chief shepherd will appear. You know, you have a wonderful pastor, and I do appreciate his ministry here, and I appreciate his friendship and the work that God is doing through his life. Your pastor is an under-shepherd. He is called by God to shepherd this flock, and the reality is, as an under-shepherd, he is responsible to God. He'll answer to God one day, and if I could give you some important advice, we have to remember as Christians never to make our under-shepherd the primary shepherd in our life. I have people in our church that become disillusioned and disappointed because they treat the under-shepherd like the shepherd. But the under-shepherd was never to replace the chief shepherd. He's just to point you to the chief shepherd. He's just to direct you to the Lord. And the primary shepherd, the Bible says, Peter wrote, when he will appear, ye shall receive, the under-shepherds will receive a crown that will never fade away. The Lord is a good shepherd. The Lord is a great shepherd. The Lord is the chief or the primary shepherd of the sheep. But why should we be so confident in the shepherd's care? Here's the answer. Because He's the Lord. He's the self-existing one. The Lord. In my Bible, it's all capitals. L-O-R-D. The Lord. Jehovah. Jehovah. The self-existing one. The sovereign shepherd. It is the most sacred name for deity that the Jews could use. The Lord. L-O-R-D. Capital. Jehovah. He is my shepherd. You see, He is the one who never had a beginning, and He is the one who will never have an ending. The Lord is speaking to Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 58. And they said to the Lord, they said, do you think that you're greater than Abraham? And Jesus responded in John 8, verse 56, Abraham rejoiced to see the day when Abraham held his little boy in his arms, Isaac. It was the beginning of a covenant promise that was being fulfilled, that one day that little child, Isaac, would lead to a Messiah, and that Messiah would die for the sins of the world. And as he held that little, Abraham held that little child, Isaac, it was the beginning of the promises that God had made to him. And Jesus said, listen, Abraham would have loved to see me in the flesh because this is the hope that he had. To which they responded by saying, how in the world do you know about Abraham? You're younger than 50 years old. How could you know about Abraham? And Jesus said this, before Abraham was, I am. I am. And the Jews knew exactly what Jesus was talking about because the Bible says they picked up stones and they were going to kill him because he spoke of his deity. They spoke of his position, that he is the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existing one, God. And David said, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. The Lord, the great, awesome, covenant-keeping, self-existing one, the great I am, the Lord, is my shepherd. But not only is he the self-existing one, he is also the all-powerful one. The Lord is the creator of all things. In the beginning, God, Elohim, the covenant-keeping God, Elohim. As we open the New Testament, we realize that he is a personal God. He is Jesus. The Bible says, by him, speaking of Christ, he created all things that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible and invisible, they are all created by him, Elohim, the personal God, the covenant-keeping God. When David looked around at all that was in the world, he looked around at the stars and the mountains and the rivers, and he thought, hey, the God who made all of this is my shepherd, and he's shepherding my life. He wrote this in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained. He later penned in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night uttereth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. He is the creator God. He is the all-powerful God. He is the self-existing one. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. Someone once wrote these words, the Lord, the one who made the world and everything that is in it, the one who lit the taper of the sun and put the stars in their places. They said, that's my shepherd. The one who threw a carpet of green grass upon the earth and tacked it down with flowers. The one who scooped up the valleys and piled up the hills. The one who took the song of the seraph and robed it with feathers and gave it to the nightingale. The one who took the rainbow and wove it into a scarf and threw it over the shoulders of a dying storm. They said, that's my shepherd. At evening time, he pulls down the shade of the night and shoots it through with sunset fire. He said, that's my shepherd, the Lord, the all-powerful one, the one who made all things. The one who rules the universe is my shepherd. But not only is he a powerful shepherd, he's also a personal shepherd. It's easy to see the mess that's in our world today. I mean, all around us we see turmoil and trouble and tears. I was watching the news not long ago, and if you want to be depressed, then you should watch the news. They should really call it the bad news because there's really nothing good about it. And in the news, one of the commentaries was saying that they were talking about all the problems and political problems, social problems in the world. And one of them said this. They said, it would seem to me in my lifetime that for the first time we are on the brink of World War III. And we are in uncertainty in our world today. And not only morally and socially and politically, but think about spiritually today, where we have no concern for human life. Spiritually today, no desire to know God, no interest in spiritual things. And even in the lives of Christians, we see maybe more pleasure than lovers of God. We see corruption everywhere. We see calamity everywhere. We see confusion everywhere. But why is all of this happening? Why is our world such a mess? And maybe this morning you're saying, where is God in all of this? Where is the shepherd? Can we turn to Psalm 53 in our Bibles? And I want to give you the root of all of it. Isaiah 53 in verse number 1. Isaiah 53 in verse number 1. And let's read it together at verse 1. Read a few verses here. This is a familiar passage of Scripture about the prophecy of the coming Messiah. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Isaiah says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he," this is prophetic of the Messiah, the Savior. He says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a rooted of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But this Messiah, this Savior, prophetically, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." But look at this, in verse number 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You see, the Bible defines for us the reason for our mess in culture and society, and look at this, and in my life. Because I find that the times when I make decisions and the outcome is chaos and a mess, it's because I've gone my own way and I've done my own thing. And instead of submitting to God and seeing God's will, which is good and acceptable and perfect, I go my own way. I stray from the shepherd. I do my own thing. And if we want to know and understand today, if we want to understand how unimaginable evil and vile our own way is, then just take a moment and think about what Christ suffered on the cross for you. He died for you so that you would no longer go your own way, but that you would allow him to be the shepherd of your soul. The Bible says, "Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." My prayer today is that you will not eat of the fruit of your own way, but that you would turn to the shepherd of your soul. The Bible says we went our own way, but Jesus came and he died for us. And he gave his life so that we could have eternal life. And this is he's a personal shepherd. And I say to you today, I don't know your heart's condition. I don't know where you are spiritually. But this personal shepherd loves you. And it begins at salvation. Jesus said he's the good shepherd. He giveth his life for his sheep, and they know him. That's a relationship. They know him. True relationship requires revelation. Without knowing God, there can be no fellowship with him. Without his word, there can be no knowledge of him. The Bible says in John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they may know him and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ." Salvation is not a home in heaven. salvation is knowing the shepherd. In Matthew chapter 7, there's people who are religious that stand before God one day, and they've done incredible things. I mean, their resume is long, and it's wonderful. We've cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works. And Jesus said, "Depart from me. I never knew you." No relationship. They didn't know the shepherd. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, I love it, and I hope you can repeat it over and over again in your life. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I hope he's your shepherd today. Can we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 in our Bibles? We have gone our own way, but Jesus came to us and died for us that we may return to the shepherd again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Let's follow along in this wonderful scripture. The Bible says this, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." That's a wonderful attitude to have, is when those who criticize you and attack you just say, "I'm going to leave you in the hands of the shepherd." And the Bible says in verse 24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Look at this, he quotes Isaiah 53, "By whose stripes ye were healed." But he's not done quoting Isaiah 53, because he speaks to those who put their faith and trust in Jesus and turn to Christ for their eternal life. And he says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now turned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." I hope today that you've turned to the shepherd of your souls. I hope you're not going your own way. I hope you're trusting in him. And we see in this passage of Scripture, it begins with salvation, and it is indeed an incredible declaration as David looked at all of this. This young man looked at all of it, and he declares, "The Lord, the Creator God, the self-existing one, he is my shepherd today, and he is a powerful shepherd. And he is a personal shepherd. But lastly, and I'll be done, he's a purposeful shepherd." Within the statement of this first verse, these five first words in Psalm 23, we find the wonderful care of a loving shepherd. Spurgeon called Psalm 23 the pearl of all psalms. It is one of the dearest passages of Scripture. And in this passage of Scripture, we know God's shepherding in our life, and it begins with this incredible thought, is that those who have turned to the shepherd of our souls, who have returned to the Lord from our own way, the Bible says he cares about us. God is the shepherd of our souls, and he cares about us. And can I say this? He cares about you individually. He knows everything about you today. He knows every struggle you have, every hardship. He knows how hard it was for you to get out of bed this morning and come to church. He knows the difficulties and the obstacles that you had to get through to even be in your seat. I don't know that. The person sitting beside you doesn't know that. But I'll tell you this, the shepherd knows that. And he cares about you. He knows your struggles. Jesus coming to us, William Barclay said, is the final and unanswerable proof. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, dying for us, is the final and unanswerable proof that he cares about us. He left the 99, and he went after the one, and you're the one. You're the one. He loves you personally, individually. To which the hymn writer said, "No one has ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me." Peter says to cast all of your care upon him, for he cares about you. He gives us a declaration. He cares about you. But the next verse he says, "But be sober and be vigilant. Because the adversary, the devil, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The truth is, you can cast your care because he cares about you. But guess what? The devil's there, our enemy, our adversary. And he's saying to you, if God really cared about you, would he allow that to happen to you? But he cares about you. He deeply is concerned about your life. Spurgeon said, there's no need for two to care, for God to care and the creature too. And so we cast our cares upon him, and your cares, your worries become his cares because he cares. He loves you. The Lord is my shepherd. He cares about us. And I want to remind you that he helps us. The shepherd has many responsibilities. But the shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd, he watches us, he protects us, he guides us, and he loves us. And he carries us through the storms of life each and every day. You see, Psalm 23, it begins with God's shepherding care, leading us through our life, leading us through hardships and difficulties, right to the day that we are forever with the shepherd himself. He cares about us, and he helps us in our life. I read about a woman who locked her keys in her car, and it was in a tough neighborhood too. I've done that several times, and it's very frustrating. It's frustrating to see your keys and not be able to get them. And they're staring back at you in the car, and they're mocking you. I know they are. They're mocking you. And she locked her keys in the car, and she tried a coat hanger, and it just didn't work. And finally, she was a Christian. She knew the Lord. And finally, she said, "Lord, you got to help me." It was only 5 minutes later, a rusty old car pulled up. And a bearded man wearing a biker skull rag walked toward her. And, you know, she's thinking in her mind, "Really, Lord? This is who you send?" But she was desperate. I mean, she'd take anyone. And so the man asked how he could help. And she said, "Well, you'll never believe this, but I'm wondering if you could break into my car." And he said, "Not a problem, ma'am." And he took that coat hanger and he opened the door in a few seconds. And she said to him, "Thank you very much. You're a very nice man." And the man paused for a moment and said, "Ma'am, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison today. And I just served 2 years for auto theft. I've only been out of prison for 2 hours. And that woman gave that man a big hug. And she looked up at the Lord and she said, "Lord, thank you for your help. You even sent me a professional." The Lord is my shepherd. He cares about me. He helps me along this way. And here's the question that must be asked. It is imperative. Can you say that? Can you say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? I think it's the most 5 powerful words a Christian could ever say, because he's shepherding my life. And he is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the primary shepherd of my life. And he's leading me home. God, help us today. Can we pray for each other? Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful blessings that you've given to this wonderful church. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us in these moments to make good decisions. Lord, I pray that if there's a person here that is not sure of their eternal destiny, I pray that today they would put their faith and trust in you. And Lord, I pray for Christians this morning. I pray that you would help them to look to the chief shepherd in their life, to find the strength and comfort that they need as their shepherd leads them through this shadow of death. Lord, I pray you would help us to make good decisions that honor you. We pray it all in Jesus' name.